If I ventured in the slipstream between the viaduct of your dream, her immobile steel rims crack and the ditch in the back road stuck, could you find me? Would you kiss in my eye, lay me down? Silence easy.
Oh, yeah. Very nice. Very nice. All right, everybody. That, of course, is the music of Van Morrison, who, you know, is, you know, what can you say about Van Morrison? He's a legend. And one more time, we are being visited. And I'm always excited when Lindsay brings in some amazing musicians. It's great, great moments in vinyl, which is, of course, been on. You guys have been on the show a bunch of times. A unique concert experience. The band tells you stories behind the songs before performing them. On Thursday, this Thursday night, they're going to be paying tribute to Van Morrison at Martyrs, which is like their home gig. It's at 3855 North Lincoln. The show starts at 8. It's only $10 to get in. We have a link on our Facebook page, but you can also check out greatmomentsinvinyl.com. The guy who kind of puts these things together is Lindsay Cochran. Lindsay, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much.
How are you, man?
Oh, man, well, we just came from rehearsal. We just had a full band rehearsal for the Van Morrison stuff. And I love these two guys who are with me who are singing in the show. I mean, just now I'm getting goosebumps hearing them do what they do. It's so effortless. 3 years ago, I saw them perform some Van Morrison music, and I thought, you know, I gotta work with them someday.
Yeah.
And I'm so lucky. I am.
Yeah. No, you get to work with some of the great, some really amazing musicians, some local musicians in this town that are amazing. And I love it because you bring them in here all the time.
Yes.
And that just makes me happy. Tell everybody about Great Moments in Vinyl, just, you know, the background stuff in case they don't know.
Well, we are fans of music. That's basically it. And rather than being in a, you know, a cover band that does one band's music all the time, we want to take the opportunity to play all sorts of music. And so over the years, we've done Elton John, we've done Led Zeppelin, we've done Sinead O'Connor. You know, it's just fun to range all over the record library and find cool stuff to play. So I tell stories about the music to draw you in, to tell you something about the artist you didn't realize before. And suddenly you hear the songs in a new way.
Right. It's a unique, really, really cool thing. And we'll hear some Van Morrison stories while you guys are here. And you do this with a revolving door. Yes. Of musicians, many of them come from the Old Town School of Folk, which is like one of the greatest institutions.
I was taking classes there. I was just stunned by the talent of the people that were teaching the classes. And I just had the idea, let's put on a show, you know. What movie is that from?
any Mickey Rooney, Judy Garland movie.
There you go. So I thought, you know, let's get these people and go on stage, and I could tell some stories about them. You know,
right.
I'm okay on the bass, but I'm not as good as some of these other people that I'm working with. And it's a chance for me to take what I do have some good skills at in telling stories and writing and combine it all together in a show that's not just a concert. It's not just sitting there listening to the greatest hits from an artist. But you get kind of – because all of us, at least of a certain age – got to know this music through listening to recordings, records, 8-tracks, and you got to hear the songs in a certain order, or I should say you were forced to hear them in a certain order, you know, and there are those songs you didn't like so much, but you sat through anyway because something good was coming up.
Yeah.
So that's the idea. We want to recapture that moment of discovery, if you will. You know? I mean, there's going to be some songs here that we play that people probably did not buy and put on their iPods.
Well, that's,
say,
that's
oh, I
you know,
that song.
Let me introduce these two guys so we can, talk.
Yes.
And, you know, that's cool. Sitting to the left of me, well, that doesn't matter because this is radio. He could be sitting on a skyscraper right now, and it would make
no difference.
Yeah.
Pan his microphone left. Oh, no, you're on WG.
But it's Alton Smith, who has got his keyboards. You can play the keyboards, and you're singing. That last little bit of Van Morrison you were singing, nice job.
Thank you very much.
I think your mic is a little, there you go.
Thank you very much.
There you go. Now it sounds better. Tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, I've been teaching at the Old Town School. Well, I'll back up. I've been in Chicago for about 23 years. I moved up here from Georgia. And,
you still got the accent.
Oh, yeah. It's never going away. And
he also sold wine to Peter Buck.
What?
I used to say I lived in Athens for a while. I sold it to everybody in RM.
He sold wine to REM, ladies and gentlemen.
Michael Stipe would come in his yellow Converse high tops.
Right. And, you know, would they buy a lot of wine?
They'd buy a case at a time, pretty
wow,
much.
Wow, that explains Murmur.
Yeah.
No, that's I'm just kidding. So, okay, so but after anyway, selling wine to REM.
Well, I moved to Chicago in 93, and I've been teaching at the Old Town School since 2003, and I met Steve Dawson about a year later. And
that's Lindsay. The other gentleman who's in the room besides. Hi, Steve.
It's true. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
And met Lindsay. How many years ago has it been, Lindsay?
Well, 4 years, maybe. I was in a class of yours.
Yeah, you were in a class of mine.
A Van Morrison class.
Oh, is that right?
Of all things.
Yeah. Oddly enough. And yeah, and then a few years ago, we had lunch one day, and you were talking to me about this idea.
I had this idea. Let's do what we're doing. And let's come up with a name for it. Would I say classic album or classic music night or something like that?
I don't remember how we actually arrived at the final name, but once we had it, that it was obvious.
Great
that
moments in vinyl. Yeah, that's it. Well, now, what albums are you guys doing by Morrison?
Astral Weeks and Moondance. Here, I should give you one of these little handouts.
Yeah, Astral Weeks, in my estimation, is one of the greatest albums ever recorded.
In Lester Bangs' estimation, is one of the greatest.
Right. Well, yeah. Lester, yeah, Lester Bangs. I love Lester
Bangs. I'll be quoting from him.
You know, I named a cat that I own Bangs after Lester Bangs, and I did. And he liked cough syrup, so it was quite a thing. Hey, Steve Dawson is here. Now, Steve, you have been on WGN in this time slot many times. You're friends with Steve and Johnny.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah.
I love those guys.
And when did you, what band are you in or were you in that you would come in and play with?
I was and I still am in a band called Dolly Varden.
Yeah.
With my wife, Diane Christensen. And, yeah, Steve and Johnny had us in a bunch of times, and we'd hang out and eat baked goods and sing songs.
Yeah, I was just apologizing off the air for not having Johnny's array of baked goods here. And that's one of the things, reasons why Dan doesn't have as much fun working for me, you know, as opposed to working for them. I mean, because Johnny would bring in, you know, yeah. She would feed everybody.
I have lost weight, though.
Yeah, he's lost weight. That's good. We got some Hot Pockets in the freezer.
Oh. So
Steve, tell me a little bit about your background.
Let's see. I was originally from San Diego, California.
Mm-hmm.
And then as a teenager, we moved to the mountains of Idaho, and where there was no radio. There was one radio station that played just country music. Mm. And I thought at the time I hated country music. But I've grown to really love it.
Yeah.
Now it's sort of like in my blood. I can't undo that.
What is it like being a teenager in the Idaho mountains?
Well, you know, I ended up loving it because I like being alone a lot. So I'd spend a lot of time alone.
Yeah.
But
I picture you taking walks with your guitar in the forest or something.
I never took the guitar in the forest, but I did lots of wandering around and going fishing and just kicking rocks and throwing rocks and looking at things.
Mm-hmm. How long did you spend in the mountains? In
Oh, gosh. From when I was like 12 to 18.
Mm.
And then I went to Boston for college, and I ended up coming here because, do you know Nicholas Barron? You know,
oh, yeah.
So he was living here, and he's from Boston, and he convinced me to move here.
Wow. And so, how long have you been here?
Since 87.
Wow.
Yeah.
30 years almost.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Well, let's go back for a second here. Alton, when did you start playing an instrument? Were you always into music?
Well, I think I was 3 or 4. We had a piano in our house, and I had a sister who played a little bit, and I would watch her play, and then I would sometimes just go in there and just bang around the keys like kids do. And after a while, I just started picking out individual notes. It's like, oh, that kind of sounds familiar. It's like, I think it was like The Farmer and the Dell or something like that. It's like, oh, I can play that. And I brought my, hey, look, I can play this. It's like, oh, wow, you really can.
Yeah.
Maybe we should give you some piano lessons.
Right.
And so I took piano lessons for a while. Didn't really practice a lot because I'd rather play by ear. And so for a long time did that. But then went on to college, got a music degree. Then for a big part of the 90s, didn't really play a lot. I moved to Chicago and do some other things, and it was really the Old Town School that got me back into it.
Yeah.
And, it's pretty much been that way ever since and been doing more and more. So.
Yeah. That's an amazing place, the Old Town School.
It is.
I mean, you know, you bring in Lindsay, you know, every couple of months you guys do a gig and you bring the people in, and I'm always just astounded by the amount of talent that goes through those doors. It's unbelievable. And I really love the idea of, like, you taught a Van Morrison class, the kind of crazy varying classes that they have at Old Town School. That's one of the main reasons for the school to exist.
I can't even name some of the crazy ones. You know, there's probably like a Smashing Pumpkins class, and there's a punk rock class, and there's a
but there's also
AC/DC
like
DC class.
There's also like traditional Irish clogging and stuff
like
that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a pretty amazing place. I was just the last time I was there, I saw Amy Mann last month, which was an amazing show.
Yeah,
just a great show. And not only that, but that room, you know, is I mean, acoustically, good God,
it's one of the best rooms in the city.
No question. Yeah, no question about it. No question about it. And you know what was really wonderful about it? I got to say this. You know, I don't get out to a lot of shows because this schedule is really weird. So I sleep a lot when shows are happening. But I made an exception. I went to Amy Mann. I love Amy Mann. And went. And one of the things that I loved about that show, and I don't know if it's exclusive just to Old Town or the people who go there, not one person held up their damn cell phone and filmed anything.
Huh.
Not one person. I was in the back. I was at the table right by the soundboard. So that was where I was. And unless they were doing it in the balcony, I couldn't see in the balcony. But not one person during the entire show, not one person took a picture. Not one person held up the video, held up the camera. And I just thought that was the coolest thing. I was like, you know what? They're actually watching the show because something is happening live in front of them as opposed to looking at it through their phone. You know what I mean? And I found that like really refreshing. And that felt to me like it was something that that happens all the time at Old Town. That just seems like that kind of because it's just that cool.
I feel so bad for encouraging people to film our shows.
No. I'm just saying it's a different kind of environment. And it was Amy Mann and two guys up there. It was just a small three piece.
Yeah.
You know, there was a guy on bass. It was her and her guitar and a guy on keys.
Well, they really respect music in that.
Yeah.
In that
and you could hear a pin drop in that place. You know, it's a great place. And so, all right, listen, we got a break. We're going to come back. We'll talk more. We've got Steve Dawson here, and we've got Elton Smith, and, of course, Lindsey Cochran. The show is Great Moments and Vinyl. They will be playing Moondance and Astral Weeks this Thursday night and at Martyrs. And why don't we hear a little piece of Van before we go to commercial break here? You guys ready?
Yeah.
All right. Whenever you're ready.
I can hear her heartbeat from 1,000 miles, and the heavens open every time she smiles. And when I come to her, it's where I belong, and I run into her like a red song. She give me love, 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 crazy love. So give me love, 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 crazy love.
Very nice. Very, very nice. Okay, guys, hang on. We're going to take a break. We got the news coming up here. And then when we come back, more with Great Moments in Vinyl right here on 720 WGN.
Half a mile from the county fair, and the rain came pouring down. Me and Billy standing there with the silver half a crown. Handful of fishing rod, the tackle on our back. We just stood there getting wet with the backs against the fence. Oh, the water. Oh, the water. Oh, the water. Hope it don't.
Nice. Very, very nice, guys. That is Elton Smith and Steve Dawson. They are part of Great Moments in Vinyl. That, of course, was Van Morrison that you heard. It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. This Thursday night, the 30th, they will be paying tribute to Van Morrison at Martyrs, 3855 North Lincoln Avenue. It's only $10 to get in. Steve and Elton are here. And, of course, Lindsey Cochran is here. Great Moments in Vinyl, Van Morrison. So, Lindsey, what was it about, and this is a question for everybody, but we'll start with Lindsey. What is it about Van Morrison that makes him so special, you think?
You know, I was just listening as they were playing that song and Stone Me. And I was just thinking, it takes me back. It's about memories. It's about thinking where I was when I first connected with that music. Van's one of those artists, I think, just has a lot of people are aware of him, have heard the songs, and maybe they don't know quite where, but they resonate. And I think that's what's one good reason to put them on stage for a crowd of music fans in Chicago, because you're in a recognize, I mean, Into the Mystic, a Moon Dance, Astral Week, Sweet Things, just stuff like that. You say, wow.
Yeah.
What great tunes.
Can you guys remember, Steve, we'll start with you, your first exposure to Van Morrison, how you started getting into Van?
I actually do, because I was thinking about that when we were putting the show together, and I remember I was at dinner at a restaurant with my family, and there was a song playing, and I really liked it. You know, a song playing in the restaurant over, you know, and I think I said to my dad, I was like, what is that? He's like, oh, it's this guy, Van Morrison. And so I went and bought a cassette of Wavelength, which was the record that was out at the time. And I just ate that record up. I just, like, I loved every second of it.
Yeah.
What song was it?
I don't know. Oh. I don't know what the song was. But, it was a Van Morrison song.
And you just looked for Van Morrison. You went out and said, I got to find something by this Van Morrison
guy. And it was,
guy.
And that was his new record.
And Wavelength was the latest, yeah.
And from there, I just, explored the whole catalog and sort of learned all the records.
Yeah. And what about you, Elton?
I think it was probably the mid-80s. I knew Brown Eyed Girl, and I had one of my best friends.
Yeah, you knew Brown Eyed Girl because you went to college.
Sure. But, and I had this really good friend who was really into music, and he, he had gotten this record. He'd gotten Moondance, and he played it for me. I'm like, I've never heard any of these songs. What is this? And then, he was getting he got his band in the Street Choir, which he was, we both were just blown away by that. And then St. Dominic's Preview. And then I think after all that was Astral Weeks, and it was like, it took me a little bit longer to for that to just click in.
But, yeah, no, that's it. That record's a challenge, man.
Once it did, it was in. And it's just like, I go through cycles now. It's like there'll be times when I'm not really listening to as much, and a lot of times just the nature of what we do, sometimes I'm just cycling through different artists and different music that I'm working on. But every time I come back to Van Morrison, it's just like coming home. And it's just
I agree.
There's so much of it that just really digs down in there.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's one of the greatest songwriters that's ever lived. Yeah, Astral Weeks was for me. It was, I knew Brown Eyed Girl, but I remember I knew Moondance to some extent. But I remember I was like 15 when An American Werewolf in London came out. Okay, I was 15, and during the nude scene in American Werewolf in London, they play Moondance.
I remember it very clearly.
So yeah, I'm sure you do. As many of us around that age remember it very clearly. So I probably, when the VHS of that came out, I probably heard Moondance a bunch of times, just rewinding and playing that scene over and over again. And that was when I first really started to explore Van Morrison. So I thank the nude scene in American Werewolf in London for turning me on to Van Morrison. But it was, I remember sitting down and listening to Astral Weeks and just like, every time I would listen to it, it got increasingly more amazing to me, to the point where it's just, I think it's one of the greatest albums ever recorded. In fact, my first marriage, during the dinner portion of our reception, we chose to play Astral Weeks while we were having the whole album while we were having dinner. And, so, I mean, it's a great record. I'm so thrilled that you guys are playing this now. Now, how many people are going to be in the gig? I mean,
oh my gosh,
I can't imagine. I mean, you guys are doing Astral Weeks track. For God's sake! I mean,
into the double digits.
We got a string section: Cassidy Sturtz and Eric Hollander and Al Eric playing violin, viola, and cello.
Oh man,
we got a horn section: John Bose, Robert Tinian, and Jeff Schweitzer, who's new to the crew. So two saxes and a trumpet, flugelhorn player. We've got a vibraphonist, Brad Sturtz. From out in Naperville, but he's an amazing vibraphone player. I mean, when we go into some of these songs where he's playing vibes, I mean, Crazy Love's a song that's
got
vibes
beautiful.
On it.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. And then Richard Pettengill, whom you've met before here.
Yes, many times.
A regular in the Great Moments in Vinyl band. He's playing acoustic guitar and electric guitar. Lenny Marsh on drums, quite an accomplished drummer. And what am I missing? Oh, Tom Murray is going to do some improvisatory violin parts.
And, Rachel Drew
and Cassidy Sturtz, a violinist, also are doing harmony vocals.
Wow.
So
that's a big group, man.
I think, and then got a guy coming in to do lights as well. He's bringing some of his own lighting rig. So it's not going to be like a Grateful Dead show, but it's going to have a little more.
That's amazing. That's really amazing. Yeah, well, I mean, you know, these are challenging records you guys have chosen. I mean,
we're an ambitious crew, if nothing
clearly.
Else.
So, yeah, so have you guys ever seen Van Morrison? You ever seen him live?
I saw him at Beginnings.
Oh, my God, really?
In Stromberg, I think.
Wow.
Was it Wavelength? No, I bet it was the, what comes after that? Not Common One, the one before the blue cover, full Into the Music.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that Into the Music with Full Four Scale and Bright Side of the Road.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
And so he was playing. And
at Beginnings.
I bet it was
kind of, wow.
Oh, my God, it was crazy. It was like, so what, Beginnings, maybe twice the size of the studio, and it was packed. And there was some poor blues man who opened up.
Mm.
And there was a game on TV. So no one was paying attention to this poor guy up there trying to sing some songs. Everyone's there to hear Van Morrison. So you're all packed. Yeah. So you're just standing there.
I was looking at some old newspaper stuff online, periodicals from Chicago. And I was looking at some of the ads from the 70s and 80s of Beginnings. Man, the band that played there, the names, unbelievable.
Oh,
amazing that they would play in that place.
Well, where I used to work back, cut spots for Beginnings.
Yeah.
And every week it would be some interesting, somebody from the new releases bin,
right.
That sort of thing.
It's right.
Wow.
Right. Now, have you guys seen Van Morrison?
I have not. I've had a couple of chances, and I just missed. And I'm hoping one of these days, depending on when he comes around or if he comes around.
Yeah.
I saw him here at the Opera House in the early 90s.
I saw him at Eric Crown in around the 90s. It was in the 90s.
Yeah.
Oh, and I caught the Astral Weeks tour.
You did?
You did?
At Chicago Theater.
Good God, man.
I didn't know he did that here.
Oh, yeah.
I thought he only did it at the Hollywood Bowl.
3 or 4 years ago.
Oh, wow.
It was an odd show, and I guess maybe, it started at 8 o'clock, and they were having trouble getting everyone in the auditorium, but he started anyway.
Yeah.
So we're filing to our seats, and he's already singing.
I'm ready to go, man. I don't know what about you guys. Yeah. I remember, guys like that are very determined. It's like, look, I'm going to do my show, and you're going to listen.
Right.
I saw Neil Young on the Harvest Moon tour at the Chicago Theater. And it played two nights. And the first night, everybody got hammered. Like, the entire audience got hammered. They were drunk and obnoxious and yelling songs. I don't know if you guys... Have you ever seen Neil Young just tour where it's just him, guitars, an organ, and that's it?
I haven't seen that. I saw him with Blind Melon back in Atlanta in 92, I believe.
Okay. This was around the same time. It was the early 90s, but this was the solo tour. And Harvest Moon was the album that he was promoting. But he was playing all of his stuff. But it was just no set list. It was just Neil coming out. He's got he's surrounded by instruments and a big organ in the back. And he just would go to an instrument and start playing and then play a song. But the first night, everybody was hammered. They were loaded, and they were screaming and yelling. Mm. So he cut his set short, and then demanded that they don't sell booze the second night.
Wow!
And so I went to the second night, and I was a drinking man then, and I went up to get a beer, and they're like, "No, sorry, no alcohol sales." And people were really mad. But let me tell you something: you could hear a pin drop, and people were paying attention to the show. And he made a great decision to do that because he gives a damn about the music, and he wants to give people a proper show. And it was great. And I think everybody was like, "Yeah, screw the beer. I mean, we got Neil Young in front of us."
Right.
It's
incredible. I can't believe going to shows and there's just noise in the crowd. I mean, in between songs, you've probably both experienced that. It's like, what are you people thinking?
Yeah. Or people talking during songs. It just drives me nuts. I don't understand that. And I also don't understand, especially in this day and age, with the amount of money that you're going to spend to go to a show, why people get so lit. I don't understand that. Like, you get so drunk that you don't even remember. You're going to spend $200 on a ticket. You're going to spend $12 on a beer, and then you get hammered. You walk out of there, $500 light than you came in, and you're drunk, and you don't remember the show.
Right.
I don't understand it at all. Even when I was drinking, I never understood that. I spent a lot of money. I could stay home and get drunk for $12. I don't need to do this. It's ridiculous. So anyway, now Lindsay, do you have a Van Morrison story that you can?
Well, here's a great way to start the show.
Let's do it.
Johnny Depp was enjoying a teenage fantasy one day, the sort of fantasy that involves a private space behind a 7-Eleven, a bottle of Boone's Farm, and one of his middle school's prettiest cheerleaders. On the Stereo was a massively popular album at the time, Frampton Comes Alive, when all of a sudden, Johnny Depp's brother, who was 10 years older, just ripped the needle off the record. "Listen, man, you're killing me," he said. Try this. You're better than that stuff. You don't have to listen to that crap just because other kids do. And with that, he put on a record from his own collection, something about venturing in the slipstream and being between the viaducts of your dreams. And Johnny Depp said in the Rolling Stone Book of Beats, they didn't play that kind of stuff on the radio. And as the melody of the song settled in, I was starting to get kind of used to it. I even liked it. My life was transformed when my brother Danny put Van Morrison's Astral Weeks onto the turntable that day.
That's awesome.
Then we'll go into Astral Weeks.
That is awesome. That's fantastic. Okay, can you guys, we got to take a break. You ready to play a little more Van for us to take to the commercial?
Sure.
Yeah. You ready?
Yeah.
I will stroll the merry way and jump the hedges first. I'll drink clear, clean water for to quench my thirst. I shall watch the ferry boats and I'll get high on a bluer ocean against tomorrow's sky. I will never grow so old again.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's one of my favorite songs of all time. All right, we're going to take a break. Great Moments in Vinyl. Thursday night, they are paying tribute to the great Van Morrison. We'll hear more music and we'll talk more with Alton and Steve and Lindsay. It's Nick DiGiulio here on 720 WGN.
Stroll through fields all wet with rain, back along the lane again, sunshine in the sweet summertime, the way that young lovers do. Kissed you on the lips once more, said goodbye just adoring the nighttime.
Yeah. All right. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Nick DiGiulio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower, and here till 5 a.m. And that was Great Moments in Vinyl. It was Alton Smith, Steve Dawson. Lindsay Cochran is here as well, guy who puts it all together. And they will be paying tribute to the great Van Morrison by playing Astral Weeks and Moondance. It's this Thursday night, and 43 musicians will be something along
the
lines.
I just have to butt in. So they did The Way Young Lovers Do just now.
Yes.
Imagine that with vibes, with a band, with a brass section, with strings. I mean, this is just a sample of what we're doing.
And that's what's going to be happening on Thursday night. That's amazing. That really is. That really is unbelievable. That's cool. Now, Alton, let's talk a little bit real quickly about how many bands you've been in and stuff like that. Give me a little rough background on some of the music that you've played, some of the bands you've been in.
Well, first band I played in Chicago was a band called Mystery Train. It's a band of people I met at the Old Town School. Richard Pettengill, actually, a member of that band.
Yeah.
John Mead, I think he's been on the show.
Yes, he has. Yeah,
member of that band. Right now, I'm playing with Anna Furman's Trigger Gospel.
Right, and I understand that my friend Tony Fitzpatrick has provided some images.
He is going to be doing the artwork for the CD and making a T-shirt for us.
That's amazing.
No kidding. In fact, we're going to be back in the studio tomorrow, out in Hoffman Estates, finishing up the record.
Good for you.
Next few days, and that band, a band called Come Sunday, which is kind of a gospel jazz thing with Mike Alamana and some other people from the Old Town School. It's basically jazz arrangements of really old traditional gospel tunes.
Oh, that's cool.
Mahalia Jackson, Swan Silvertones, the Soul Stirrers, things like
that. Wow, that's a really cool idea.
Yeah, I'm pretty much just singing that band. I play a little bit of keyboards, but Anna, I play in a kids band called Pooch Among Us. with a couple of Chicago firefighters.
That's cool.
And so it's kind of all over the place.
Yeah.
And again, pretty much all comes back to people I've met either through Old Town or at Old Town or, so it's
Rachel
been...
Rachel Drew and the Bitterroots.
Rachel Drew and the Bitterroots with Steve Dawson right here.
Yeah.
And it's been... It's really busy. It's really good. It's a really good time to be a musician.
That's great, man. All right, now what about you, Steve? In addition to Dolly Varden with your wife, Diana Christensen, what...
Well, the first band we had was called Stump the Host. That was like in the late 80s and early 90s. And that was also with Diane. And then we sort of morphed into Dolly Varden sometime around 93. And we've been in that band, and we're still in it.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, so we can't get out. Just can't figure out a way out.
We wanted to hear a song from you. What song are you going to play for
us? I've made a couple of solo records. The most recent one has a name of, because it's a specific band. It's this band called Funeral Bonsai Wedding. Do you know Mark Caro? He used to write for the Tribune.
I know he used to. That
Mark
sucks.
Caro,
but
Mark Caro warned people to not let me name their band. He says, Steve's a really nice guy, but don't let him name your band. But I have, you know, so I have Dolly Varden and Stump the Host and Funeral Bonsai Wedding.
And that's quite a track record. Isn't
it? Yeah. None of them really work. But I'm going to play a song off of just a record that's under my own name that came out a few years ago. And you're going to sing it with me? Do you remember the chords? All right, this is a song called Obsidian.
All right, here
I
we
just
go.
Played this the other night at the Old Town School, and I said, if I had a hit, this would be it. It's my greatest hit.
All right, here we go. Steve Dawson, Elton Smith.
Should know by now, everything you say will be misinterpreted. Turn around right now, every step you take leads you further from the good. Come on now. Obsidian, soften your skin, let the change begin. Come on now, the soft clay of your heart is a place to start. I pray. Should see yourself contorting into shapes to try and re-explain yourself. And we would all just laugh if it wasn't such a shame this time. It's a matter of life and death. Come on now. Obsidian, soften your skin, let the change begin. Come on now, the soft clay of your heart is a place to start.
was great.
Thank you.
That was really great, man.
Thanks.
We're going to take a break. That was Steve Dawson, Alton Smith, and they are part of Great Moments in Vinyl, paying tribute to Van Morrison this Thursday. We'll get more, and we'll talk more to these guys right after we take this break on 720 WGN.
We were born before the wind, also younger than the sun, and a bonnie boat was won as we sailed into the misty. Hark now, hear the sailor cry, smell the sea and feel the sky. Let your soul and spirit fly into the mystic.
Yeah, that's great. Into the Mystic, great song. Welcome back, everybody. That is a Great Moments in Vinyl. Alton Smith, Steve Dawson, and our friend Lindsey Cochran are here with full strings, horns, the whole nine Thursday night.
Yeah, you can't do a song like Into the Mystic without the horns. I mean, that you were talking about songs before. That's the one that did it for me.
Is that
I
it?
Heard that song. I had never heard Van Morrison before, but I heard that with that clever little that sax riff. Can you play how that goes? That
yeah.
That thing. I heard that. What a cool song. What a cool song.
Yeah.
Who is that?
Yeah. Yeah, and you're going to hear it full band, and that's Thursday night on June 30th, and it's at Martyrs at 3855 North Lincoln, and they will be playing Astral Weeks and Moondance in their entirety with stories and all kinds of other cool things. Is there anything else that you learned about Van Morrison that you like?
Sure.
Some stories that during research?
Can I give you a story here?
Yeah.
Sure. Ever notice how in iTunes it'll categorize your music? Scott Foundas is a writer for the Telegraph UK. He was traveling shortly before he did an interview with Van Morrison a few years back, and he planned to get himself prepared by loading all his Van Morrison albums into his laptop to listen on. And he found it curious that every album seemed to be classified as something different. As he told Van later in the interview, one album would be called pop, one would be called rock, the album Common One, that came up as world music. Then, he said, the computer doesn't seem to know what to call your music. And without missing a beat, Van Morrison replied, I'd call it soul.
Mm. That makes sense. That makes sense. He's one of the most soulful Absolutely. Singers on the planet. You know, I went to Ireland about 6 years ago. And we had missed Van Morrison in Dublin by one day. One day. I was so mad. Mm. But I ended up seeing Dinosaur Jr. and Built to Spill in Dublin at the end. So I was happy about that. But we were like, we get to Dublin and we're looking in the pubs and there was posters for Van Morrison.
Wow.
And it was the day before. And I'm like, no! Just to see him in Ireland? Oh, my God. It would be amazing. So now you guys, Alton and Steve, you guys have played together many times, obviously. Let's talk a little bit about now Lindsey is I have two basic questions that I always ask musicians when they come in. And Lindsey, let's remind everybody what your answers are. I always ask what was the first album you ever bought, and I always ask what was the first concert you ever went to.
I feel like
again,
I need to make up new answers.
Well, no, but you got
I'll be honest.
Yeah,
so
okay.
The first album I bought was Mungo Jerry because
right.
I loved In the Summertime. I love that song.
Right. Yeah. Yep. And that's a great song. It's a great song.
It is.
Yep.
But the rest of the album, not so much. That should have been my first single. And my first concert was, Chicago.
Chicago. Yeah.
Album number 5.
Yep. Yeah, that's what I remember. So I always ask this. It's always fun. And sometimes I'll get musicians in. It's really funny because, like, we have musicians come in, bands come in at least once a week, at least. And because I love having live music and I love talking music and stuff. And it's so funny because, like, you can always tell, like, the age range. Like, when it's like people come in, what's my first album? Weezer. I'm like, okay, I know I'm the old man in the room right now, you know, but it's always fun to have older and younger people come in and it's never an embarrassment. I know a lot of people are like, oh God, my first album is ridiculous. I'll give you mine real quick. My first album was Black Sabbath Paranoid, which is not an embarrassment. In fact, it's a great album. And, I was a kid, I was like 7, and my dad took me to Record Roost on Lincoln Avenue. And I went in and I had my little allowance and I gave the money to the guy, and the guy looked at me and he looked at the record and then he looked at my dad and he's like, you sure you want your son to have this? And the guy behind the counter had, like, crazy beard and hair, and the police reeked of pot, and yet he was concerned about me buying a Sabbath album. And my first concert was Black Oak, Arkansas, They were headlining. Bad Company was the opening act before their first album came out.
Oh, wow.
So nobody knew who they were. And I went with my dad. My dad started freaking out when he saw Paul Rodgers walk out on stage because he's a fan of Free. Oh. And my dad was like, oh my God, that's Paul Rodgers from Free. And I was like, oh, all right, cool. And then we had to sit through Black Oak, Arkansas. Okay. Let's start with your first album.
Well, it was officially a cassette.
Cassette, okay, yeah.
Ronnie Millsap's Greatest Hits.
There you go. Ronnie Millsap's Greatest Hits.
You know, a piano player, Smoky Mountain Rain.
Yeah.
All right. Smoky Mountain Rain.
Hold on. Let me get your first album, Steve.
So Nelson. Does it have to be something you purchased with your own money, or could my mom have bought it for
well,
me?
Well, let's do the first one, like maybe the one that somebody bought for you, your parents bought you for you,
yeah,
and then maybe the first one that you bought with your money.
The first record, they used to sell records at the grocery store, I remember, like on an end cap, and the Queen, A Night at the Opera, was there, and I knew the song from the radio, and I begged my mom to buy it, and she did. God bless her.
Yeah.
And I loved that record so much.
Yeah, it's a great album.
I figure that, I call that my first album,
okay,
but it wasn't my own money.
Yeah, no, I understand. I totally understand. But do you remember what the one with your own money was?
It might have been at a Tower Records in San Diego, and my dad, you know, like gave me $20 and said, or probably not $20, probably like $5.
$5 then, yeah, sure.
And said, you know, buy whatever you want. And I bought a Paul Simon record, which is a really weird choice, but I bought There Goes Ryman Simon.
Oh, okay.
I think probably because I liked Love Being Like a Rock. I think I liked that, you know.
But. Yeah. But those are good. Those are good.
Yeah.
Those are good, man. The Roy Ward Baker production on those Queen albums is just mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing. To this day, very, very few records, like the Queen records, are produced in that.
And I remember in the liner notes, they say, like, there were no synthesizers used in this record, and
probably.
I didn't even know what a synthesizer was. But I was like, that must be cool. Like, they didn't use any of them.
Whatever they are.
I don't know what that is, but it's cool. All right. Alton, what was your first concert?
Well, I'll say it's kind of hard to say. My dad was a minister, and so I'd see gospel groups all the time when I was really, really little kid. The first, like, concert that I went to the Omni in Atlanta, the old Omni in Atlanta. Saw Mr. Barry Manilow in the round.
Oh, in the round.
In the round, my friend.
Oh, man.
I think I was maybe 11.
Yeah. How many middle-aged women were in the audience?
Oh, God, I don't even know. I don't even know. He was wearing a white suit with ruffles. I got a T-shirt for my sister. She actually didn't want it. But
I got you something from the concert. You can keep that. Oh, that's hilarious. Okay, first concert for you, Steve.
Well, my dad took me to a double bill of Santana and Chicago. I can't remember who played first. I think it was like a legitimate double bill.
Yeah, that's a tough call right there.
It would have been like 73-ish.
Ooh, that's a good time to see those bands too, man.
They were both kind of hot then.
Yeah.
There was a lot of pot smoking going on. I was... very curious.
That's, you know, I went to a lot of concerts in the 70s. My first show, I was 10. It was 1975. And I'm positive that I was high at every one of these shows just by contact.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's people who weren't around in the 70s. I mean, you go to Chicago Stadium to see a show, and it's just thick with pot smoke. Yeah. Like, it's just people, Andy Frayne, Usher's getting high, everybody. And I remember passing joints. Because they'd write down the line in the row of the seats. I would pass a joint. I wouldn't partake, but they were like, go ahead, dude, pass it down. I would pass it down. They were very generous with their pot in the 70s.
That's true.
Yeah, they were. But it was a different time. It was a different time. Lindsay, what other – you have one more Van Morrison little tidbit that you can share with us?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see here. Do a quick scroll here.
All right. And again, while you're doing that, it's this Thursday night, the 30th, paying tribute to Van Morrison with a bunch of amazing musicians, many of which came out of the Old Town School of Folk, which is just an unbelievable place. They will be playing Astral Weeks and Moondance, and it's this Thursday. The show starts at 8. It's $10 to get in. You can check out greatmomentsinvinyl.com for more information. They're also on Facebook. And we have a Facebook link on our page right now. So go to facebook.com/NickDShow.
So Johnny Depp's older brother got him to listen to Astral Weeks, and he says it changed his life. Martin Scorsese said that the album inspired the first 15 minutes of the film Taxi Driver. Philip Seymour Hoffman referred to the album during his Oscars acceptance speech. Joan Armatrading has said it opened her up musically. Stevie Van Zandt described how Bruce Springsteen and the rest of the E Street Band regarded the album. It was like a religion to us. Elvis Costello hailed it as the most adventurous record made in the rock medium, and Lester Bangs declared it the most significant record in his life. Van Morrison's Astral Weeks. It's got a lot of fans, and at the show, I'm going to say we hope tonight that we're reminding you of why you love it,
wow,
too.
That's amazing. I did not know that tidbit about Taxi Driver.
I thought you'd like that, Mr. Movie Man.
Good God. I mean, that's amazing. Now I need to go back and watch Taxi Driver for the 45,000th time.
Yeah. The first 15
first minutes. 15 minutes of the film. It was inspired by Astral Weeks. Now I've got to go back. I'm serious. I'm going to go
I
back
know.
And watch
it. Like,
yeah. Just put in Taxi Driver, Astral Weeks, Scorsese.
To see what's going on, man. That's crazy.
Yeah, but wow. He talks about, Scorsese talks about how it inspired how Travis Bickle, I guess, was this loner off by himself, kind of up in his own world.
No, it makes sense. I just didn't know that. And that's going to make me look at Taxi Driver a little bit differently.
I've accomplished my mission. Look at the music differently.
That's great. You guys have, besides this, anything coming up? Alton, you guys are finishing up the recording?
We're finishing up Anna Furman's Trigger Gospel, new record. It should be out pretty soon. I'm blanking right now. But there's a few things coming up. I know we do have a campaign online through Indiegogo for the Trigger Gospel record. You can get some of those Tony Fitzpatrick T-shirts.
You can
pre-order the album. You can get some other nice, other nice swag that comes with these campaigns.
Okay.
So, that's pretty exciting. And then I think I'm actually going to be playing at the American Music Festival. I'll actually be singing at the American Music Festival this Saturday with Brad Cole. Rachel Drew and I will be singing with him.
So. Cool. Steve, what about you? What do you got going on?
Dolly Varden's about to start working on a new record, and we're playing at the Square Roots Festival in Lincoln Square on July 8th. That's Friday night.
That's a Friday, yep.
Friday night at like 9.
Okay.
So that's exciting. And I just made this EP with this really fantastic singer-songwriter from Baltimore.
Yeah, which I have a copy of here called The
Ellen,
Thread.
The Thread, yeah, with this woman, Ellen Cherry, who just has a beautiful, beautiful voice.
Great.
And we wrote a handful of songs together and made an EP.
Okay.
So those are the newest things.
That's great, man.
Yeah.
Well, it was a real pleasure having you guys in here, man. And Lindsay, always a joy, man.
Thank you.
Always. I have such a
Thank
great
you.
Time when you bring these people in.
We love music. And
just
we like
to have,
sharing our
just
love
to
it.
Have talent in this room just makes me so happy. All right, let's hear one more. To close it out, let's hear one more Van the Man song.
All right. Sure.
All right.
Here
we
go. Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. Fantabulous night to make romance, neath the cover of October sky. All the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. And I'm trying to please to the calling of your heartstrings that play soft and low. You know the night's magic seems to whisper and hush. Soft moonlight seems to shine in your blush. And I just have one more moon dance with you, my love.
Yeah, it's great. Thank you for making me think of Jenny Ogeter. She was the female in American Werewolf in London.
That
you guys, great having you in here, man. Really, you guys are talented. It was so much fun. Welcome back to WGN Late
Thank
Night
you so
again.
Much.
I appreciate that. Lindsay, I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a break here. It's Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN.